Hey, this is Brian Beacock, and you're listening to Ultimate Despair Reprise.
Are you feeling the despair yet?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ultimate Despair Reprise, a Danganronpa recap podcast going through the entire series, one murder at a time. I am, of course, your ultimate host, Kyrie.
I'm the ultimate podcaster, Jennifer.
And today we have a very special guest joining us. Citizen, please identify yourself for the universe.
And I am Clear, the ultimate thingamajib.
Maybe ultimate zine.
Ultimate organizing? Zine, yeah, that's cool.
Ultimate zener, yeah. It's 29. It's 29 zine. That's what it is.
29 zine. Yep.
29 zine. Thank you for joining us. Today's a special episode. It is not chronologically the fourth episode. We've done like eight of these things by now, but this will be the official fourth episode. And we wanted to talk about Danganronpa and its fandom, specifically the queer fandom, because my experience with it and Jennifer's experience with it has been very positive and affirming. And we wanted to bring someone on that has, you know, the ear to the fandom. And like, Clear, you're the ultimate zener, like the title I just came up with.
Yeah.
You seem to have your ear to the ground on all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's it been like? So I know there's the zine that we've been working on. And then there's been a zine before that. Like, tell me a little bit about your experience with that.
Well, I've been a zine organizer ever since I started a zine about Danganronpa V3's training trio. And I've really gotten access to the community of creativity, I guess. So learning about these characters and getting a kind of perspective through art and writing has been really influential to me. And I'm currently working on Tokomaru zine with a bunch of fabulous creators, including you.
Mm-hmm. And which I was still blown away that, like, when I got the acceptance email that I got to write for it. I am so... It is an honor and a pleasure.
I'll tell you that much. I'm so glad, yeah.
Yeah, I remember us having some discussions about, like, how to, like, just, work on depictions and just a lot of different stuff. It was really exciting to work on my fanfic.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it about, like, Tokomaru that kind of speaks to you?
Well, as a lesbian, I love these characters. And I love how Danganronpa has kind of implied but not baited these characters, you know? And, you know, it's just really sweet. And I've just been kind of not obsessed, but like really not influenced. I've been really
inspired, maybe.
Inspired, yes, absolutely. And been using these characters to build my creative process and make things, you know? So, sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm a personal fan of when you put Byakuya in a bunny suit. That's listen.
Jesus, I forgot about that.
Did you draw that just like on a goof or something?
Yes, I did. I was just like, you know what? Why not? He's a playboy. Well,
he really is. Like, as you know, like, I'm bisexual, and mm-hmm. like, as a bi, I really enjoy that kind of thing.
Good.
Jen, what has been your experience with the you know, fandom and queerness in general with the Danganronpa fandom, because you've cosplayed Nagito quite a bit.
Yeah, around the time when I had played the games originally, well, at least the first one, around 2014 or 2015, maybe a year after release, and I kind of, I was still in the process of coming out and preparing to transition, so some of the Chihiro stuff bothered me, but also Chihiro as a character was this very affirming sort of character, like, just the way that everyone kind of loved her, even after they found out things about her past, was a very sort of, it was like a moment that clicked with me, because I've had people, I've had many people in my life tell me that if I actually transitioned and came out as trans, then no one would love me, and so having a character that was going against that in their own way, even if I didn't necessarily agree with the way that Spike Chunsoft wrote her, was very good. And around that, I ended up falling off somewhere in the middle of Danganronpa 2, but then 2 years ago or so when I was, well, actually it was last year, while I was looking into V3, I ended up playing through 2 again, and suddenly it kind of just went off like a light bulb, and I ended up looking into cosplay, checking out other fans and the work that they've done, and I found that it has a pretty vocal queer fan base, which is really nice and refreshing.
Yeah, Nagito is a queer disaster, and we all love him.
I love him to death.
Yeah, Nagito is so good.
I actually, I plan on cosplaying him too in the future. I just bought his wig, so.
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so they'll be. I've been cosplaying as Hajime, but like, even when I cosplay as Hajime, even though like I identify as a woman, it's still like, there's something like empowering for me to like put on this like hyper feminized version of a masculine character, because if you look at the art of Danganronpa, like, all the guys have incredible eyeliner. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so incredible, and it's like, this is a mode of expression for me, and like I occasionally have, like, you know, gender fluid feelings, and it's like, it's been really fun to like explore that through cosplay, but also to like it helps me affirm and take control of my own identity. Also, I think it was Katsukan, Jennifer, we were cosplaying as Nagito and Hajime, and someone made a positive remark of like, oh, more like the super high school level gay or something like that, as a goof, you know. And so I just grabbed Jennifer and kissed her right there, and they had a big time. They had a big old time. It's always whenever we do photo shoots, and we kiss as Hajime and Nagito, we usually get applause, which is very fun.
It's what they deserve.
Yeah, so they just deserve to be together. They really do. I don't know. It's so funny. Every time we cosplay as these characters, we usually look for doujin as well, and doujin of like of our ship that we are cosplaying as. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, our experiences, like when I put out the form survey, I got a lot of responses, and you know, we're going to go over some of the more detailed responses in a little bit, but I wanted to go over just real quick some of the, you know, like, shorter responses. If your response hasn't been read, please understand it's not like I thought it was bad or anything. It's just we got like 37 responses, which kind of blew me away. Like, I did not expect to get 37. But, you know, we had a lot of folks like cleared, like, affirming what you said, where like the relationship between Toko and Komaru was very powerful and influential for them. Like, we had Ani, who is a tired Ani, she said, honestly, Toko Fukawa helped me come to terms with my gayness in a lot of ways simply by the power of her transformative relationship with Komaru. I couldn't help but see it as a romantic relationship, and my adoration for the two of them is huge, one being one of the first positive F/F relationships in any media I had ever consumed. Which, that's very powerful. You know? And like you had said, like, even if Spike Chun, like, screwed up the depiction in some ways, like, it's very clear people are still finding power through that.
Totally. And with Toko and Komaru especially, I feel like the way that it's written very heavily leans towards people interpreting it that way as a lesbian relationship. And there's something very cool about that.
Yeah, I mean, like clear, you started a whole zine on that, which, how's that been going, by the way?
It's been going really good. I've been working on it with my really close friend, and we got inspired by all these, you know, you've seen all the, like, character ship weeks around Twitter and Tumblr. We got inspired to make a product and a really cool thing, like a zine, a anthology to celebrate these characters and give them more content that they deserve, you know?
Yeah, like, I think I see it every couple of weeks. I see, like, I'm also in the Persona fandom, and I think right now is, like,
isn't it Yusuke and
the main character? Shukita, because the Japanese word for main character is Shujinko. So if, listen, hot tip, if you're looking on Pixiv for any of the, if you're looking for on Pixiv or anything, look for Shujinko if you're looking for, you know, main characters for any of the Persona games. Anyway, that's a sidebar for the Persona fans in the audience. I do appreciate the American, the English speaking audience adopting, like, what you see on, like, Pixiv and stuff of, like, taking two characters from the, like, from the characters' names and mashing them together to create, like, the ship name, which is very good. So, yeah. So, do you want to go into our really, really good responses?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I might edit this a little bit out, but let's start with response 21. And I'm going to read that out. So this response came in from Jasper, they, them.
That's Instagram. My partner.
Oh, really? Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so... I seriously did not plan for that. Their Instagram is purple_cotton_candy_fluff. 3 underscores. Nailed it in one. Yeah, gosh, and I kind of want to know, like, did you two meet and talk about Danganronpa? Like, did it bring you together at all?
Kind of. Well, we met in high school, and that kind of grew us closer after we connected after a couple years, and we really love these characters, and it's something that we talk about often. We make content, and we discuss, you know, the Chihiro drawing I did for you is their wallpaper. So,
aww.
Yeah.
Chihiro trans.
They Chihiro. Agree. Yes.
Chihiro trans. We love Chihiro here. Mm-hmm. You get extra credit on your homework for that one.
Yeah.
yeah. So, and Jasper said they do fan art, write fanfic, and they've been part of the They've been part of the cosplay, and they've been to events and conventions and panels, stuff like that. So anyway, the first question was, what is it about Danganronpa that speaks to you as a queer person? And Jasper said, I think Danganronpa is a series that really attempts to focus on non-traditional worldviews and experiences. I think this is a part that spoke to me about it. A large majority of the characters have dealt with with unique and complexly challenging experiences. I think that really helped me as a queer person identify with them. I've had a lot of difficult experiences in my life related to my identity, and seeing these characters deal with different but relatable hardships is a very positive experience. I think that relates to what we were talking about with Chihiro, because I feel like I connected very closely with Chihiro when I played Danganronpa 1, you know, a few years ago. I even cosplayed as her, and that was a very positive and affirming experience for me. I had not started HRT yet, but, like, being able to cosplay as Chihiro and be, you know, accepted for who I am was very powerful for me.
And since I have an insider's view, Jasper is actually actually really identifies and loves Chihiro too. They actually cosplayed Chihiro in the past. So I think it's kind of a universal, we love Chihiro. And
we do.
We do.
Jen, I'm really going to have to loan you my Chihiro cosplay because it's almost like a, I wouldn't say rite of passage now, but listen, Chihiro's great. They're like Spike Chun. Listen, we need a spinoff manga of Chihiro where it's an AU where she makes it out of Danganronpa 1 alive, well, and happy as she goes on adventures with like Alter Ego or something.
That would be fantastic.
That'd be so great. So the next part was, has Danganronpa helped you express yourself as a queer person? And if so, how? So, Danganronpa has a really colorful cast, one full of characters who chooses to express themselves very uniquely. I think this was super awesome to see. As a non-binary person, I've always struggled with how I've wanted to present myself. I've always felt like presentation is something I've had to convince others of. Danganronpa has helped me explore my presentation in a really wonderful environment through cosplay. Before I came out as non-binary, I got a wonderful chance to explore my identity with the characters. No matter who I chose to cosplay, which style of presentation I chose, I felt very accepted by other cosplayers around me and through the community. This really gave me a sort of safe testing ground for expression, and one I feel very lucky to have had. I felt like I never had to convince anyone of my presentation while in cosplay, and I just got to have fun as the character through their unique expression. I could try out some of my own. So that, you know, reflects a little bit of what I was saying with, like, you know, cosplaying as Hajime and, like, choosing a different version of, like, expressing that. And Jen, you have, like, have you gotten that experience, like, cosplaying as Nagito?
A little, yeah. At first, I felt kind of awkward about the fact that I kept gravitating towards cosplays of male characters, being a trans woman and all that, but I feel like there's something empowering about treating a male character as a costume and putting that away when you're done. And I've added my own little touches now and then, like various kinds of lipstick and whatever, but yeah, it's fun to put on a costume and allow the act of more or less dressing as a character that's a different gender than I am to, explore different parts of myself. Like, I feel like when I'm wearing that cosplay, I'm more easily able to have a spring in my step when I walk or just play around with presentation in terms of just the way I interact with people, more or less.
Yeah, Jed, I have seen it. When you put it on, you just, like, you really do have that spring in your step. Claire, you were saying? Go ahead.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, too. As a person who is non-binary, specifically bi-gender, wearing these costumes really helps you look into yourself and play off of these different feelings of, you know, these socially constructed genders, and being able to express yourself differently really helped me with my gender identity. For example, when I cosplay Mikan versus when I cosplay Hajime or Saihara, it's really fun to really change who you are, but also keep yourself in mind. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, you are still you. Like, you don't change, but, like, putting on the different costumes helps you express different aspects of your personality. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
Cosplaying as Hajime, in a way, like, I have, I sometimes get a little bit dysphoria with my voice. That being said, doing this podcast, believe it or not, has helped me so much with that. But there is something to, like, when I cosplay as Hajime, I will, like, very intentionally try to, like, replicate what Johnny Yong Bosch did with the role. And there's something, like I said, empowering to, like, being able to put on that costume and even put on that voice and still, like, and get, like, positive responses from that. You know, I'm not, you know, it is still me, you know, I never change, but, like, by putting on the different costumes, that allows me to, like, change certain perspectives, I guess. It's there is a transformative power in cosplay, and that's something that Jasper has been talking about, is like finding that acceptance within the community, because I have noticed like so much, especially in the Diggeropa like cosplay community, that they are so accepting and wonderful. And every time I see a, you know, trans woman cosplay as Junko, like my life gets better.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like Jen, I think it was Anime USA, I remember there was that one woman who was cosplaying as Junko, and she had these huge fake breasts put in to like give her that super curvy figure, and it was a blast. They were having so much fun, and I was so happy that they could like, you know, find a way to express themselves in a safe space, you know?
Totally. I feel like this isn't the common experience for everyone, but at conventions I usually feel safe to experiment with my presentation, and it feels like other people around me feel the same way, like they're more willing to try something different or try something that they want to do but would feel uncomfortable doing in public.
Absolutely. So the next part of Jasper's response, despite Danganronpa often failing at queer representation, what have you experienced in fandom that succeeds? They said, it's very true that Danganronpa struggles with positively representing queer identities. One of its strengths, I feel, is that it's one of the few series that actually incorporates queer identities in a lot of cases uses them rather naturally. There were a lot of points where I felt queer characters were represented, but them being queer wasn't the focus of a joke or treated as something bad or strange. There are, of course, exceptions, and some very frustrating ones, but over time, I feel the series began to use tropes less and less as it went on, and which is a positive. Yeah, like, I think one thing that me and the other hosts have kind of struggled with Danganronpa 1 is, like, its very casual transphobia has been a big issue for us. And it just has a lot of issues, but like over time, like you have these characters who either openly queer or like suggesting at queerness without making it a joke, you know? Like Nagito definitely being a big gay disaster. Like we keep coming back to him, but like I think it's very telling that like at the end of Nagito's, like, social link, you know, he basically, like, what's the words that he uses, Jen?
At the end of the social link?
Claire, you were saying?
Was it, I love the hope that is inside you?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and it's like, you have this male character actually having this open declaration of love to another male character, and and I've also noticed that a little bit with the fitness trio as well from V3.
Oh heck yeah.
Yeah. Like what have you observed of the fitness trio since you seem like you did that zine? What were some of the things that kind of came up with the three of them?
Well, first off, Saihara and Kaito holding hands in the anthology. That one's really good.
Oh yeah, that is really good.
I also really love the energy that they give off, because Kaito is such a really supportive character, and Saihara really needs him. And then Maki is there too, who's really like a rock to them, you know?
Absolutely, she is their rock. She is their almost said Fortnite.
Oh Jesus. She keeps them grounded.
Yeah, I just remember at one point in V3, I just thought like it was in case 5 where Kaito and Saihara are having this like really like powerful moment, and I just thought, Saihara, just grab him by the neck and kiss him right now, please, please, we need this. It's so obviously you need this too. I don't know if you've had this interpretation, but like I interpret Saihara also as like a trans man.
Absolutely.
I mostly get this because I played the Japanese version, and Saihara is what's her name? I forget off the top of my head, but it's the woman who voiced Rey from Evangelion, voiced Sayara, and it's like that sort of like it comes through. It's like, yeah, I plan on cosplaying Shuichi at some point, and
jumping back, I really personally interpret Hajime as trans too.
Really? Okay. Like, where does that come from?
There's a lot of scenes where, for example, Hajime won't take off his shirt or doesn't feel comfortable showering. And when I identified as a trans man, that really resonated with me, having chest dysphoria. For example, he does have a bigger chest than most characters. And
you're right.
Yes. He's binding.
You're right.
He's binding. He's trans.
I had, you know what? Okay, new headcanon accepted then. That, yeah. Claire, this is why we brought you on. It's also like, yeah, you provide a perspective that like Jen and I certainly wouldn't have. And that's so interesting. Gosh, after this recording, we might have to talk a little bit more about
this. That's perfectly fine, yeah.
Yeah. So, the last question in the form was, do you have any other thoughts or comments regarding Danganronpa and queerness? Jasper said, Danganronpa is a series that means a lot to me, especially as a queer person. I know a lot of other people who've had similar experiences with it. I think more than just the series itself, I have found the community has been one of the most positive parts. I felt so accepted and respected during my time with the community. I feel very thankful for that fact. Fiction really has a lot of power to bring people together under a common interest and inspire them as a community to do amazing things. In some ways, I think that's what Danganronpa was really all about in the first place. The real Danganronpa is the friends we made along the way.
Yeah.
That's my embellishment. But yeah, it's like, one of the major themes of these games is finding togetherness and community in difficult times, and like, that, like, the community has kind of shown that. Like, I have never really had like a toxic like experience with the community, and like, there is something there that I think a lot of people resonate with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jen, Clear, what are your thoughts before we move on to the next response?
Well, I really agree with Jasper, and having these connections with other, you know, LGBT folk in the community really strengthens the fandom. And having these diverse characters and diverse people in the fandom really, it makes me happy. That's all I gotta say. I'm a little fumbly right now.
Oh, that's okay. Listen, we're all just being very, we're all being very truthful at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, it's me, your ultimate host, Kyrie. Thank you so much for listening to episode 4 of Ultimate Despair Reprise. I have a little bit of a frog in my throat, I think, so if I sound a little different, I hope you don't mind. This is the episode that isn't explicitly about the current chapter that we're playing through, and the next episode is certainly where we go into really heavy aspects of the series in that chapter, but we want to make this episode a celebration of the series, because, you know, me, Jen, and our guests, like, we really love this series, so we wanted to celebrate that. But first, let's do our shoutouts. Huge thank you to Scanline Media for hosting this podcast. Six and Jen have been working so hard on this website. It's got lots of great free shows for you to listen to. I'm talking about the Johto Quorum, I'm talking Garnet Wager, and I'm also talking Neutral Game, where we just had an excellent interview with Lost Soul, professional Guilty Gear player and third place finalist at Evo. Evo, this guy's legit, and he was an absolute pleasure to have on our show. We also have interviews up around now with Kira Buckland and Brian Beacock, and it's all free to download and listen to. We also have the Patreon-exclusive show, Oops All Anime, for a mere one American dollar a month, as our thanks to you for your wonderful support. Get all the information you need at scanlinemedia.com or go to patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Shoutouts, of course, to Vetrom for use of their music for the show. Be sure to check them out on youtube.com/VTMprojects for their hot, hot, hot fire remixes of Danganronpa, Pokemon, and My Hero Academia. You can also check them out on soundcloud.com/Vetrom, V-E-T-R-O-M. Listen, their mix of Hero A, it rules. You should definitely check that out. So, definitely huge thanks to Vetrom. And of course, last but not least, thanks to Clear for coming on to the show. Getting Clear's perspective was just indescribably important to us here. Clear brought a energy, just a fresh energy and perspective that we really, really appreciated. Be sure to follow Clear on Twitter at ClearJoyHughes and check out his website, ClearJoyHughes.com. Clear, we loved having you on the show and you are welcome to join us anytime you like. Also, be sure to check out Clear's webcomic, The Augury, on TheAuguryComic, all one word, .com. It just started. Be sure to be on the lookout for that. It looks amazing. It's dark, it's atmospheric, and it's about lesbians. I'm really, really excited for that. Anyway, that's all I have for now. If you're listening to this in chronological order, your homework is Chapter 3, Daily Life of Danganronpa, Trigger Happy Havoc. I'll talk to you soon. See ya. So we got a great response. We're moving on to response number 24. This is from Aubrey. Aubrey writes in. They are, let's see, they didn't identify. Sorry, I just had to scroll down. So the first question was, what about Danganronpa speaks to you? And Aubrey said, the battle of hope versus despair, while cheesy in the context of the games, is a real-ass scenario for many queer people. I appreciate the villains of the series being interesting and in some cases likable, as it makes things less black and white. Despair is obviously bad, but it's part of our lives that we can learn to cope with and to help with the great spirit, Komaeda, maybe even a little more lighthearted about the process. Again with Komaeda. Jen, tell me a little bit about like your connection with Komaeda, because you really love this character. We in our apartment we have a like signed picture from Bryce Papenbrook of Komaeda displayed prominently for a good reason, I think.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where I think the thing I like the most about Nagito is he's just willing to be on his bullshit all the time, and there's a level of shamelessness to the way that he interacts with other people that there's something refreshing about him just being very honest about who he is, and it feels like he's incapable of being embarrassed or shamed by the other people around him. Like when he's at near the beginning of Case 2, when you're visiting him, and he's all tied up. He just has a giant smile on his face. And he's like, oh, hey, how's it going? And it's... Hey,
I do this in my free time. Oh, man, I broke my levels again.
But yeah, there's something that's kind of honest about him that I really appreciate. Like, and the way that he pushes that honesty onto Hajime as well. Like, throughout the game, even when he's getting kind of upset and frustrated with Hajime, even a bit, he even gets a bit condescending when he finds out Hajime isn't the person that he thought he was. It's
with that very haughty sprite with that very, very good pose.
Oh yeah, lick my shoes. What was that? Yeah.
Yeah.
We were discussing that scene last night.
Yeah. It's one of the situations where even when it gets to that point, he seems to be more fond of Hajime than he's willing to let on. Because even though it kind of breaks some of his ideas about what life and order are supposed to be like, in terms of talented people being the most deserving and untalented being trash, he still finds himself... He sees himself in a very self-critical fashion, so I think being around Hajime kind of helped him be more comfortable with who he was, in a way.
Absolutely. Clear, you wanted to cosplay as Nagito next. What is your connection with this character?
Well, I was going to talk a little bit about how I really appreciate him as a queer disabled character.
Sure.
And as a disabled person and as a queer person, he's a very influential character to me, and God, I love him to death. So
he's so good.
Just like with Toko, I really connect with these characters. I really connect with their, with their mental health problems as well.
Yeah, with their struggle.
With their struggle, absolutely. And I've always loved analyzing and thinking about Komaida. He's been one of my favorite characters for such a long time. And his chaoticness, but his unchaotic chaoticness, really. How everything is chaotic to... No, sorry.
It's okay. He clearly has some sort of internal barometer that nobody else can understand.
Yeah, to everyone else, he's chaotic, but to himself, he isn't, because this is what's right to him and what he knows. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's I struggle with mental illness as well, and there is something in a weird way to see characters who are clearly operating on a set of barometers or rules or whatever that makes sense to them, makes me think about of course, I have struggled with certain things, and it's I also have my own internal barometer, and mm-hmm. the games in a weird way say, that's perfectly okay, or at the very least, it doesn't make you less of a person. And that's one of the things I appreciate, is that these characters clearly struggle with things, but it's they're not super they're not completely defined by that struggle.
Absolutely. Toko is more of a character than just her dissociative identity disorder. She's more than just that, and that makes me so happy. She's the best representation of DID that I've ever seen, and Toko's tangent. I can go on a tangent to her all day.
Go on a tangent. Okay. Let's do it. Here's the thing. We at the Zaibatsu, we love Toko as well. Our last episode that we recorded, we're basically she was my favorite part of the entire chapter. She mm-hmm. was the reason I play this game now, because she's her favorite character.
Thank God. She's
go ahead.
Such a well-written character. And as much as there's these faults that people that don't have DID writing a character that do have it, and maybe not doing the most research that they can on this disorder. Mm-hmm.
I definitely, even though I have a degree, I still needed help with you. And I really appreciate your honesty as well.
Yeah.
I feel like my writing has gotten stronger because of that.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad. Yeah. And I'm going to be completely honest. I do have dissociative identity disorder, which makes relating to Toko even more important to me. So I love her to death, and she's just so good. That's enough said.
Yeah, she's great. We all love Toko here, and it's interesting. Aubrey had something that's kind of related, because their next point was about how has it helped you express yourself. Right, and they said, Chiaki Nanami has helped me with accepting otherwise hated parts of myself. I may be lethargic and a bit slow, but Chiaki is too, and she's one of the most celebrated characters in the series. I hope to make her my first cosplay someday. It's like, that's so great. It's mm-hmm. like, you have these characters who, like, people can see parts of themselves, or at least a more, like, you know, like, this character is not completely defined by their struggle, and there are people, like, at the end of the day, these characters still obviously love each other. Like, you know, Jen, like what we were talking about with Chihiro, and how, like, the characters still love Chihiro, you know, even though the, like, I put some, a lot of the, like, gender issues, like, on the, at the hands of, like, the writers and, like, the translators, but, like, at the end of the day, these characters are so happy that, like, when they discover alter ego, like, say, oh, Chihiro is still here, they are so happy. And, like, that is such a, that's so, like, good in spite of, like, some of the issues that the games, you know, just have.
Mm-hmm.
They love her as a person, and they don't just think about her gender like most people do. They don't just label her and throw her aside, which is fantastic.
Absolutely.
She's not disposable.
Mm-hmm. And that's, like, that's so powerful. So, on a lighter topic, despite Danganronpa often failing a queer representation, what have you experienced that succeeds? Aubrey said, there's a ton of incredibly cute Yuri fanworks. That Dojin Rikane becomes a girlfriend to the entire cast of V3 is legendary.
Yes.
We all love that fic. Or that Dojin, like, Kade Akimatsu is another... Like, she's great. I love the fact that, like, in V3, she's just going around complimenting all the girls and calling them cute. It's so good.
She's a sapphic icon.
Yeah, she really is.
Like, even in the official V3 anthology manga that they published, there's a moment where she goes, oh, you get to rest on a girl's lap? I'm so jealous! It's really cute.
I remember I cosplayed Kaede at a convention once, and I literally just screamed, I love women!
I love women! It's so good! Oh, we love Kaede. She's great. And Aubrey's next response was other comments, and they said, in the dating mode of V3, Tsumugi asked Shuichi what he would like to cosplay as, and one of the dialogue options is a girl, and Tsumugi gets really excited. I get excited. Now I have a headcanon. God bless. And it's like, there, like, I do love, like, there's a moment in, like, Shuichi's, like, social link at one point where he says to himself, you know, I really shouldn't be thinking about another Kaito like this. But the thing is, like, the sprite that they use is, like, he's bashful, right? And it's, like, one of, like, you know, that first conversation that you have with yourself of, like, wait a minute, hold on. Like, when I was talking to Kira Buckland, shout outs, you should listen to the Kira Buckland interview, talking about, like, when I watched Labyrinth, like, years ago, like, I remember so distinctly, like, I was at a writing camp at a college, I think it was University of Virginia, maybe? I don't know. There's a bunch of universities there. That's not important. Anyway, we were watching Labyrinth, and it's the scene where David Bowie is doing the the Power of a Babe song. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Have you two seen Labyrinth?
Yeah. Dance, okay, Magic, great. Dance.
Dance, Magic, Dance. That's right. When that scene was going, I was like, oh, this is awakening feelings that I didn't know I had. This is like, oh, this is pulling some stuff into some sharp relief.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I do appreciate how both of the protagonists in V3 feel pretty open when it comes to their sexuality. Like, I particularly was into the Kokichi / Shuichi situation, and if you go all the way through the Salmon run and the free time moments with Kokichi, there's this sense that Kokichi fascinates Shuichi in a number of ways,
And he's like, I can't quite figure you out. Or no, it's the other way around, where like Kokichi is like, I'll lie to you and you see right through me, and that frustrates me in a way that I really like.
Mm-hmm. And Shuichi's...
I'm sorry, go ahead. Kokichi says gay rights.
Yeah, I feel like Kokichi, just like Nagito, is very flamboyant in a fun way that also reads very heavily as disaster gay.
Claire, you were going to say something?
I just said Kokichi said gay rights, but...
Oh, okay, great.
That's all.
Yeah, that's great.
But going off on V3, I love Tenko. That's all I'm going to say.
I like Tenko a lot. I know, like, she's so hashtag problematic, but I like Tenko quite a bit. Like, I remember when I was playing the demo for V3, I played it on my PC, and I got the point where Shuichi tries to compliment her, and she just has that look of utter disgust on her face. I took a screenshot, and I think I sent it to, like, Jen, and just being like, oh, I love her.
The world needs more man-hating lesbians.
Hell yes. It's like, I just look at it, it's like, I do not want to be complimented by a man. I'm like, damn, Tenko, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Meanwhile, if you compliment her as Kaede, she starts blushing, goes, stop it, I'm not cute, don't say that. Oh no.
Yeah, and you know, like, for all of the problems that, like, with, like, Tenko or whatever, I still appreciate her arc. I still think she has a good storyline. I like what she does and, like, the frustrations that she deals with. It's like, Tenko has a lot going on, and I liked her a lot as a character. Also, I want to learn how to do, like, judo flips and stuff with her. I've taken a little bit of martial arts, but judo is, like, one of those styles I've always wanted to learn.
She's so buff, and I want her to hold me.
Same? Yeah. Same with Sakura. Yeah, you ever just want to be, like, deadlifted by a very large, buff woman?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah. Like, I feel like with Sakura, it's like, I would fit, like, I could cling onto one of her biceps, and I would fit, and it would be great.
I feel like she'd be a great hugger.
She really would. And here's the thing, I don't know if a lot of people would be like, oh, she might break your back. It's like, no, a woman with a black belt, they know control.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Sakura's great.
Yeah, I especially like in Danganronpa 1, her relationship with Hina. I feel like that's also a very good, that's also a very positive thing that's going on, because both of them are practically training all the time later in the game, and they go to bat for one another in surprising ways, which is awesome.
And they, like, openly admit that they spent, in the first case, it's like, oh, I was in her room with her, and it was less people, like, people weren't shocked of, like, two women together. It was more like, wait a minute, doesn't that technically break the rules? Like, they were more concerned about, like, the rules Monokuma had set up rather than, like, two women being together, mm-hmm. which is, like, interesting. I don't know. It's so good.
Want to hear a good take?
Hell yeah, I want to hear a good take.
Chihiro, Sakura, and Asahina together in love.
Damn, that is a good ass take.
Hell yeah. Because
one time, didn't Asahina say that she wanted to braid Chihiro's hair?
I think so. It could have been either in, like, one of the free time events, or it was in, like, the V3, like, Salmon Run? That was the, I don't know. Like, I'll have to investigate this, but I definitely, like, I have another pseudo headcanon involving Chihiro. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Toko, like, kind of finds out about Chihiro's transness, and Chihiro gets worried that she's going to be murdered by Toko, but Toko just goes, I only murder beautiful men. I don't see a man here.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah, and she, yeah, it'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, last response. This was response number 35. This was sent in by Lauren, she, her, on Twitter. They are at queer queenie, queer underscore queenie, i.e. with the thing. Okay. So they follow fan artists and musicians, and first question, what is it about Danganronpa that speaks to you as a queer person? They said, the ways in which sexuality is often seen as totally normal. The series, while often failing at queer representation, does generally not tend to make a big deal about expressions of same gender attraction and just goes along with it. That kind of relates back to the, like, Aoi and Sakura thing that we were talking about earlier, how they were a lot less concerned about, like, two women together and more about, like, the rules, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like it quite a bit. How has Danganronpa help you express yourself as a queer person? And they said, Danganronpa has helped me give words to understanding conflict of gender questioning and uncertainty. While I was definitely not very good at that, the fact that I even broached the subject was a big deal for me, giving light to the fact that gender was not a simple cage I had to be locked into, and that I could indeed express and identify differently. So that was huge, and I kind of got that when I saw Chihiro and was like, I had already kind of known that I was trans at that point, but, like, I was taking any amount of representation that I could find. Jen, you had spoke to this on some level, I think.
Yeah, by the time I was playing that game, I was well into college, and I already had a plan mapped out for coming out to folks, but just having a reminder that... Just seeing someone else that was doing something that could be seen as trans and having that sort of imagery helped a whole lot. Like, it showed me that, once again, this was something that I could do. So, while it didn't really put the idea in my head, it was just another step on the road towards having the confidence to come out to other people.
Right. Absolutely. Clear, was there any moment, this could be Danganronpa otherwise, that things started to, like, click for you, personally?
As a, like, a queer person?
Sure, because, it's like, I guess my answer was Labyrinth, but, you know.
Yeah, actually, Evangelion, to be exact. We talked about this a little, yeah, actually.
Can we spend the next, like, 2 minutes talking about Evangelion and how Shinji is gay?
He is gay. He is gay.
He's gay. Shinji's gay. Shinji's Jennifer, gay. You... Shinji... Jed, you had said something about Evangelion. Like, we watched it together a while ago. What was it that you said about the show?
I said that I had wished I had seen this at a younger age because this is... The way that they showed Shinji and Kaoru and... the various things that Shinji was doing felt like something that I was completely missing in my childhood. And having a character like that would have gone a long way if I had seen him at an earlier age.
Mm-hmm. I first watched Evangelion in middle school, and it really sent me to be the person I am today. It's my special interest, actually. So having this series that really guides me as a person and makes me think, like, oh, yeah, these characters are obviously not straight, too. So, like, I personally really connect with Asuka and Shinji, of course.
Yeah, like, yeah. Your avatar on Discord, like, 2 minutes before you recorded was Asuka, which is great, because Asuka is pretty good.
She's a lesbian.
She really is. Mm-hmm. She is, there's so much about Asuka that is just, like, performative heteronormity that she really just wants to, we love Evangelion here. Every time I see, like, at Otakon or whatever, that, like, if somebody does, like, an Evangelion panel or whatever, it's like, oh, what does Evangelion truly mean? I know for a fact that they haven't figured out that, like, oh, just Shinji is gay. If you figure out that Shinji is gay, the whole series makes perfect sense.
Yep.
Yeah, like, when we were watching the third movie and, you know, Kaoru's, like, head explodes, I just thought to myself, man, if they don't bring back Kaoru and if Shinji... Listen, I'm just gonna put it out right now. If Shinji and Kaoru don't kiss in the fourth movie, fuck everything.
They kiss in, like, the games and stuff, and it's just, I wish it was all in a accessible media that we can see them being gay.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, the fourth movie, here's what I want to happen for the fourth movie, is Shinji and Kaoru finally kiss, and everyone in the audience just either is, like, very confused, or me and the other, like, queer folks go, you did it, Shinji, fucking finally! We love you! Oh, boy, I love Shinji so much, I could do a whole thing on just... We love Ava here. Clear, you want to do an Ava podcast?
Hell yeah!
All right, we'll put that in the chamber. All right. Let's see. So despite Danganronpa failing at queer representation, what have you experienced a fandom that succeeds? Lauren said, the fandom, in my experience, is much better at queer representation. On the regular, I see fan art, fan fiction, directly expanding on the queerness of the characters, even fixing some way to which the series has failed. The art of Chihiro being affirmed as a girl or depicting characters... like Kaede as bisexual is common and a great thing to see a fandom that has so constantly seen the potential of this series and brought it to like. That's what we do with the zines. That's what we do with like, yeah, like I feel like part of cosplay is like, so at AUSA we went to a panel by Crispin Freeman and Crispin was talking about how like cosplay is something that Joseph Campbell would say as like ritualizing the myth, and it's like there's something to, like, our little community, like, ritualizing and expanding upon the myth of these characters, seeing the stories that not even the original creators could see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, Clear, as an artist, what are some of your favorite, like, headcans or things that you do that, like, that you express with these characters?
Well, I'm trying to think. I obviously draw a lot of the characters based on how I perceive them. For example, I draw little things like whenever I draw Ibuki, I give her a little sapphic symbol on her seifuku, or I just give little notches that give folks ideas on how I see these characters. I actually, over the summer last year, I drew all of the cast of V3 going to Pride. So,
aww,
yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so I put little Pride flags on each of their shirts and little touches. Like, for example, I really like the headcanon of Gonta being bi-gender. So I gave him the bi-gender flag and a little, I think it was bisexual and a little bow in his hair, or
aww,
trans girl Sumugi, and what else, all these really fun, and it was just a way to like put out like, this is what I think, and everyone loved it. I had like 600 retweets on that.
Nice. I think I saw that, like, I might have retweeted it at some point. I'm gonna have to go and find those and take a look at those.
I can dig it up for you later. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Jen, has there been anything in the fandom that you have appreciated with expressing something that that wasn't in the original text necessarily?
Aside from the affirmation of Chihiro being trans and stuff like that, let me think.
I know you like Nagito the vampire.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, there's some interesting, I tend to have Archive of Our Own bookmarked, and I'll occasionally scroll through whatever new ideas people have there.
So if you're not going to Archive of Our Own, like, every day, what are you doing? Like, that is, like, one of the most exciting websites. Like, the fact that it's getting a Hugo is great. Listen, if they win a Hugo, that means everybody who has written fic for AO3 is Hugo Award winners. Yeah. Clear, were you saying something?
I was just agreeing, but with Nagito the vampire, I always loved drawing Ibuki with fangs. Just saying. She's Ibuki a lesbian. She's a lesbian, too.
She really is. Ibuki is Jen's favorite character, if I recall.
Yeah, one of my favorites for sure. I definitely agree, and one of the nice things about the fiction outside of the main fiction is I feel like there's been... It's always nice when people see Ibuki and run with her being a lesbian and have fun with that, because she's so goofy and carefree in a very fun and in a very fun way.
Pointing.
Indeed. And she does love biting people.
Yeah. Big same. Big mood.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Last response from Lauren is, do you have any other thoughts and comments? And they said, Danganronpa was one of my first exposures to a series that could even slightly express queerness. And even though it's very poor in it, very often, it was a formative media in helping me understand how to start to express that aspect of myself. And for that, it will always be important to me. I think everybody kind of has that, like, thing or series of things. It's, you know, I said Labyrinth, I also include Golden Sun, I include a couple of things in, like, Naruto, like, in which I saw depictions of something outside of cis heteronormativity and, like, hold on to that. I still plan to cosplay as Haku from Naruto at some point, because Haku was really there for me to, like, figure out, like, you know, expressions of gender beyond just traditional mask and femme, like, expressions. And I really appreciate that Danganronpa is, like, more powerful than its own text, you know what I mean? Where even if the Chihiro chapter was a failure, even if it, like, stumbles on a lot of, like, key moments, the fact that there's still a large contingent of people who see this series and, like, find ways to express themselves beyond that is so... It gives me a lot of hope, you know? Yep. I had to sit on that. I get to make one. I think this is the one hope joke I get to make for the entire podcast history. yeah.
Good luck Jen holding Clear. Yourself to that.
Oh, God. Jen, Clear, any other thoughts?
Yeah, like you said, I feel like we all have our various collection of media that helped us figure stuff out that we weren't seeing anywhere else in particular. Like, for me, it was a combination of Virginia Woolf's Orlando, which has a character that one of the pivotal moments is that they end up turning into a woman and they end up preferring it, while also going through some of the more frustrating misogyny of the time, where she's treated much differently in that form. And also Persona 4, which is another one of those things, like Danganronpa 1, where I don't care what the text says at the end of the day, I believe that Naoto is a trans man. And
Naoto trans. Chihiro trans, Naoto trans.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yosuke and protagonist gay.
Yes, yes, yes. They even recorded the. Lines. God. Persona 4 is a mess that I love, but it's mm-hmm. still a mess. Clear. Any other final thoughts on this?
I just really love Danganronpa, and I love how much work that they put into it to try to make it diverse. But even though things have gone wrong, it's still the effort that they've put in, you know? And
yeah, it's like while it can't replace, like, media that fully and completely celebrates queerness, it's like even things like either token representation or genuine attempts at representation that don't work is still valuable in some way.
And it's not like how other creators do things like J.K. Rowling. Oh, Dumbledore was gay.
Oh, yeah.
No, God. They actually...
J.K., if you're listening to this, stop being a TERF.
Yeah.
Fuck off. And also, Lupin is gay. Don't even try to like hide it. Lupin mm-hmm. is gay. Lupin, Wolfstar for life, baby.
Yeah. But
go ahead.
It's trying, and it's not just throwing it aside, because there actually are characters who, even though they're not well written, they're still there and they're treated like normal characters, unlike other medias that write them off or make them jokes.
Exactly. It's like we're still here, and we're always gonna be here, and you know, you can't stop us. We are too powerful. The lesbians have swords.
Yes.
All right. Well, this has been an incredible episode. Clear, thank you so much for coming on. Is there anything you would like to plug before we wrap up here?
Well, follow my Twitter, ClearJoyHughes, ClearJoy_HUES.
We'll make sure to...
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes. Anyway, great. Continue.
Awesome. I post art there as much as I can. I'm also running a comic about lesbian Victorian women, and I will be posting a lot more about zine soon, because Tokomaru zine is coming out very soon, and I'm very excited about it.
Hell yes, I am very excited for that too. We'll make yes. sure to put all that in the show notes. Clear, it was an absolute pleasure. Really appreciate you coming on, being open and honest with us, and we, at the end of the day, we all love this series, and I appreciate you sharing this with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a blast.
I'm glad you had fun. And all right, well, till next time, everybody. Class dismissed.
Bye.
You know, in the last chapter we talked about, God, this is going to make the timeline stuff really confusing, I realize, because this is supposed to be episode 4. Fuck me.